Father, we come before you today giving you honor, glory, and praise. I just want to say thank you, Lord, for being God and God alone. Lord, I thank you for everybody that's in earshot of my voice. Lord, I pray for those who are not here today also, for whatever reason that they're not here today, Lord. We just ask, Father God, that they will be protected, healed if they need healing, oh, Father God, and whatever that's going on in their lives, we just turn them over to you. Lord, we lift up our children today. Lord, we just commit them unto you that they will serve you all the days of their lives. We pray for the unborn today, Father. We ask, oh Lord Jesus, that those who are still in the wombs of the mothers, that you will bring them forth into this world to do the purposes in which you created them. So, Lord, I pray, Father God, that you will move upon the hearts of the mothers and those in these clinics that are killing our babies. That you will change their minds, oh, Father God, and let these gifts, oh, Father, come forth to just enter into the purposes in which you created each and every one of them. Lord, I pray, Father, for our government. Create a clean heart and renew a right spirit within each and every one of them. And all of us also. We ask, oh, Father God, that you put godly people in every area of their life and that they will seek wisdom from you and you alone. Our military. Lord, we thank you for our military. We honor our military. We just ask, oh, Father, that you would just provide healings and protection over our military. For our policemen, our firemen, our first responders, and our medical profession. Lord, we ask, Father, that you would put a hedge of protection around them. Lord, we ask that you just give us a word here today, not only for information, but more so for transformation. Use me today, Lord. Get me out of the way. Lord, everything that come out of my mouth, let it be of you and you only. Lord, just have your way. Give us ears to hear. Let it be no distractions. Lord, we love you. We magnify you. We praise you. We adore you. And we pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You know, I love the adoration, you know, adoring God. I just love the adoration, you know, and just loving him for being God. Not for what he's done, not what he's going to do, but just for being God. I just love that, that God is God alone. Amen. So praise the Lord. Yes. I hate to do this, but kids, Sunday school, all the kids go to Sunday school. They don't want to go to Sunday school? Huh? All right, all right. Y'all gonna miss it. They got good treats. All right, they got chicken. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. That's right. I'd be down there. All right. Anyway, if you turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians, Philippians 4 and 13, I want to encourage you today. Who you are in Christ and who Christ is within you. I want to encourage you today that that Jesus Christ loves you. I want to encourage you today to know who you are in Christ and who Christ is within you. I want to encourage you today that there's nothing impossible with God. Nothing. Sometimes it looks impossible, but there's nothing impossible with God. Philippians 4 and 13, when you get to say amen. Amen. Need a couple more amens. All right. What's the first word there? What does that mean? It means you. It means you. Put your name there. I can do. I can do. Say, I can do.
I can do.
All things.
All things.
Through Christ.
Through Christ.
Who strengthens me.
Amen.
Now, once again, you and I can do all things. Not some things. Not a lot of things. Not the easy things. Not the hard things. But I can do all things. Only through Christ who strengthens me. It's only Christ in me that I can do the things that please God. Now, I can do things that won't please God. Amen? I've done things that have not pleased God. Am I the only one? Absolutely not. But once Christ is in me and through me, I can do all things. So what do I have to do to have Christ in me. I have to be open for Christ to be in me. Amen. I have to surrender my life to Christ. I have to give him access to my life for him to do that. He's not going to do it against our will because he's given us a free will. Amen. It's only when not our will be done, but your will be done. Only then God says, now I can come into you. And anything in your life, you will be able to do that through me. Anything that you can in your life that's according to my will, you'll be able to do that. You can speak to these mountains and they shall be removed. And when he's talking about the mountains in our lives, you know, all of the different difficulties that we go through, the giants, the storms, the things that we go through in our lives each and every day. And we all go through things, don't we? We all are going to go through things. But he says, you can do all things through him who strengthens you. You can walk on your circumstances as Peter did. You know, when they was in the boat and they was halfway across the Sea of Galilee and a great storm came and they saw Jesus walking on the water. They didn't recognize him. They said, it looks like a ghost. And then Peter says, Lord, if that be you and not a ghost, bid me to come. Jesus said one word, come. One word, come. And Peter stepped out of that boat and he walked on his circumstances. He walked on the difficulties in his life, that storm, because remember, they thought that they were going to die and perish. Those storms in life, they're difficult, aren't they? Some storms are worse than others. But this storm that they were on, it was perilous because it could have taken every one of their lives. So it was a serious storm. But when he heard Jesus and Jesus says, come, he had faith in Jesus. And he said to himself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can step out of this boat and walk on the circumstances of my life. I can step out of this boat and walk on the storms of my life. I can walk over them. You understand what I'm saying? And y'all know the story. And he was walking to Jesus until he started looking at the storm in his life, the circumstances in his life. And then that's when he sank. How many of us, we do good for a while. We walk, you know, in the will of God, the perfect will of God. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, we find ourselves sinking. Find ourselves sinking. Jesus, I have faith in you. But sometimes those storms that come my way, it blinds me from realizing that I can do all things through you who strengthens me, because these storms are big storms. You see, Jesus, I believe. But help me in my unbelief. How many of us have been there? I believe, but help me in my unbelief. Why are we unbelieving? There are several reasons. We're not trusting him the way that we should. We're not believing him the way that we should. We're not obeying him the way that we should. You see, because sometimes what we do is we keep our eyes on things that is not of God. Or we listen to things that are not of God. We walk in and surround ourselves with things and people that are not of God. Then the next thing you know, we're sinking. And you say to yourself, how did I get here? I was doing great. I've been sober and clean for 6 months, 8 months, a year, 2, 3, 4 years. Here I am back again. All of a sudden, you know, things are starting to look bleak on me again. But we got to remember what Jesus says. I can do all things. Not some things, Not just the easy things, but the hard thing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures here so you can write them down because I got a lot of scriptures here and I'm going to be going through them. So you can write them down because I'm not going to ask you to turn there because we'll be here until tomorrow. And the first one is. Oh, here we go. Or is it? Yes. Okay, here we go. Ezekiel 36:27. I will put my spirit within you. I will put my spirit within you. Who's that talking about? And I. Is that us? Is that the pastor? Is that the government? It's Jesus. Jesus says, I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Let me read that again. And I will, and God will put his spirit in us. It goes with the theme, I can do all things through Christ who is in us and through us. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Now, can we walk in his statutes without his spirit within us? How many of us tried? Over and over and over. Tried to stop doing this. Tried to stop doing it. Tried to start doing this more. Reading your Bible more, praying more, coming to church more, doing the right thing more. And we find ourselves not doing it anymore. Why? Because we're trying to do it in our own strength. I'm so thankful that God has showed me that I can do nothing without him. I mean, absolutely nothing. It used to be a time when I thought I could. You know, I could do some things in Christ and I can do some things in my way. But when I went my way, it turned into a catastrophe every time. And I would have to repent and go back to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Let's do it your way now. In the book of John 14:17, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, and he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Here we go again. It's all talking about that Christ in us. The Christ in us. We can't do nothing without Christ, church. But sin, we can do that real good. But if we call ourselves by the name of Jesus, we call ourselves Christians, we have to have Christ in us to do what Christ wants us to do. Period. Period. There's no getting around it, church. How many of us, once again, have tried to do it our way? And we end up sinking. Just like Peter did. Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If it be that the spirit of God dwell in you, listen, we'll say, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in, if so be. If. You know that word if means we have to allow it to come into us. Once again, he will not make his spirit come into you. In order for the spirit to come in us, we have to be open to receive it. Amen? Amen. We have to be open to receive the spirit of God. How do we be open to receive the spirit of God? We have to surrender our life to him and say, Lord, take me, make me, break me. Whatever needs to be done in my life so I can please you. Do it, Lord. I surrender all. We sing them songs, don't we? I surrender all. But do we? Do we surrender when we want something? Do we surrender when we need something? Or do we surrender just because he's God and we love him and adore him? That's the key right there. That's what he wants. He wants us to open up our hearts and let him in. And then, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? No, did he say that? Know you not that you are the temple of God? And listen to what he said. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Do you know as a believer, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within us. Do you realize that? But sometimes we might quench the Spirit, don't we? You know what quenching the Spirit means? You know when you have a bonfire or something, and you take some water and you pour over the fire, it quenches the fire. There's no longer the heat. Sometimes, you know, we do things to quench the Holy Spirit. And that's our disobedience, our not being committed, our not being obedient to what God has called us to do. When we do things our way, when we half step, when we half step. You know, the Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. So many times what we'll do, we'll try to do the things and the works of God to make it feel like, that God, we're okay with God. We'll do works. But let me tell you something. Works is good works. Absolutely is. But the main thing is to be obedient. And the only way we can be obedient is Christ in us. That's the only way to be obedient to Christ. Now, 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. Here we go again. But the anointing which have received, which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie. And even as it has taught you, it shall abide in him. As it is taught us, the Spirit of God said, you don't need no man to teach you, because the Spirit of God that dwelleth in us, because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I will give you another comforter, the one just like me, that will teach you and lead you into all truth and all righteousness. So if we have the Holy Spirit living within us and we obey it, it said it will lead us into all truth and all righteousness. You don't need nobody to tell you and try to teach you when you're sinning. When you're doing wrong, you know you're doing wrong. If you steal something, you know that that's wrong. When you lie, you know that that's wrong. Right? Don't need nobody to tell you that. You don't need me to tell you that. You know it's wrong. And those of us as Christians, when we do them, because we do that, the Holy Spirit convicts us, letting us know that you're going down the wrong path. You need to stop and repent and confess and get back on the right path. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not all on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he'll do what? He will direct your paths into all truth and all righteousness. But we have to trust him. And trusting him, we have to believe him. And believing him, we have to obey him. It all comes down to obedience, church. It all comes down to obeying God, what God has said for us to do and what he has said to do. Why is it so hard for us to disobey God? I mean, how is it so hard for us to obey God? Everybody got quiet. A lot of times we don't do what God wants us to do. That's what it is. Then it says, let me move over to, John 14:26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And we talked about that. But which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You know that if a person is unregenerated, if a person has not the Spirit of God within him, they do not understand what the spiritual things say. Do you understand that? I tell you, there's been many years of my life when I've been trying to minister to people that don't have the Spirit of God in them. They have no idea. They have no understanding what I'm talking about of the spiritual things. None. That's like trying to tell a blind man to tell you what that painting looks like. person's blind, can't see. And there's a picture, and you say, tell me what that picture looks like. What are they going to tell you? I can't because I can't see it. And it's the same thing with people who are unspiritual. So I tell you what I've done, you know, because what it does is spins your wheels. You know, it's of art when you try to minister to somebody who don't have ears to hear. So what I do is say, I'm not going to talk to you about Jesus no more. I'm going to talk to Jesus about you. Amen. If y'all got some relatives out there, some kids, whatever, and you've been trying to minister to them, and it seemed like it's taking no effect. It's like that blind person trying to see a picture, and they can't describe it because they can't see. So what we need to do is, Jesus, open up their eyes of their understanding. Open up the eyes of their understanding of my child, of my relative, whoever it might be, Lord. Because, you know, I've been ministering, and I'm tired. I don't want to give up, Lord. But what I'm doing, only you can do it. What I'm doing, only you can do it. You know, and I remember the Holy Spirit tapped me on my shoulder years ago and said, don't think of more highly than you ought, Mr. Man. Lord, I'm trying to save them. You can't save them. You can't even save yourself. You understand what I'm saying? But I love them and I want them not to go to hell. Only I can do that. Only I can do that. Do you remember the day that you was walking in darkness and you was living like a heathen? And I got a hold of you on that day? Huh? Don't you remember that, Mr. Man? Did the pastor save you? Did the choir save you? Did your mama and daddy save you? Absolutely not. Only I can save you. And only I can save your relatives. You know, sometimes we want it so bad. We want it so bad for our relatives and our family and our loved ones. And we just want to do whatever we can do. You know, Charles Spurgeon was at a meeting and a guy, he was walking downtown. And he was on his way back from the meeting that he had been preaching. And a guy walked up and said, oh, pastor, thank you because you saved me last night. Charles Spurgeon looked at him and said, I probably did because I smell that alcohol on you. Did y'all hear what I'm saying? I probably did because I can smell the alcohol. So what he was saying was, if you took me to save you and you out here getting drunk, yes, I probably did. But what shape are you in? You understand what I'm saying? Because when the Spirit of God comes into us, I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. But I know when God got a hold of me, it didn't happen overnight. You understand what I'm saying? Because I was still doing stuff. Still doing stuff. After I got saved. But after a while, you know, that Holy Spirit said, hey, you're going down the wrong road. And what God started doing, he started taking those things out of me that was not of him. Little by little. But then he started putting in me the things of him. Little by little. And what he's doing now is he's pouring in me. He must increase and I must decrease every day. Every day. He must increase in my life and I must decrease every day. You understand what I'm saying? Every day. I pray that prayer and you do too. Because this world is trying to get us to a place where it's not of God. Y'all see how our country is going? One nation under God. Oh, that's a joke right now, ain't it? In God we trust. That's a joke right now, ain't it? The only God we trust is on the money. He's on the money. Now, let me see here. Let me go to a couple other scriptures here. Oh, 15. I'm sorry. Lord have mercy. I done lost my thing here. 15:40. Give me a minute. Oh, I'm coming. Oh, here we go. Okay. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth with you? 1 Corinthians 6:19, know what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Do you know that you don't belong to yourself? Do you know that? You belong to God. For those of us who are in Christ, we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. So why are we doing the stuff that's opposing to God? If we don't belong to ourselves, why are we doing that? Let me take you back in the slavery days. When you was a slave, you didn't belong to yourself, you belonged to your master. And you did only what your master told you to do, right? We're still slaves today, but we're slaves for Jesus. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going to take me. I'm a slave for Jesus. He's my master, and I want to obey him and him only. But sometimes I get a little antsy, and he knows how to deal with that. 2 Corinthians 6:16, in what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and there shall be my people. Let me read that again. For what agreement has the temple of God with idols? What he's saying was, and we are the temple of God, right? We talked about that. We read that in the scriptures. We said that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? So what agreement or what do you have in common with Satan? Shouldn't have none. Because he says that I will dwell in them, I will be in them and walk in them, and they will be, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He says, you are his people. Do you know you're a holy nation? A royal people? Do you know that? A royal priesthood? I tell y'all all the time, know who you are in Christ and who Christ is within you. That'll make a monumental difference in how you live your life every day. Knowing who you are in Christ and who Christ is within you. That will make a difference in your life every day. I am a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a king's kid. Not being proud or arrogant, but knowing who you are in Christ. Knowing that we're no longer under the bondage of sin. No longer that old person that used to be. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things become new. And behold, and look, all things become new. Old things have passed away. My old way of talking, my old way of living, my old way of doing things that was against God. And behold, you know the word behold mean? I can see. See the way that I'm living now. I'm not perfect. I have issues like everybody else. Like everybody else. Struggles like everybody else. But one thing we need to do and we need to know. I'm not the way I used to be. I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Every day, I'm taking one step at a time of righteousness, obedient, righteousness, obedient, righteousness, walking in the Spirit of God, letting the Holy Spirit lead and guide me into all truth and all righteousness. Sometimes, you know, you take that step of righteousness, obedience, and then, you know, next thing you know, you done slid back a couple. Huh? You take one step, and then you take two steps backwards. But you know the good part about that? Jesus says when you take them two steps backward, he said if you confess it to him, he said he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you in all unrighteousness. And then you get right back at the step of righteousness and the step of holiness. step of righteousness, the step of holiness, the step of obedience, one step at a time. One step at a time. That's what we have to do. And we have to be conscious of what we're stepping into. You hear what I'm saying? If you got a problem with alcohol, you don't step into a bar. Oh, I'm going to minister in the bar. No. No. If you got a problem with alcohol. Amen. If you got a problem with drugs, you don't walk into the crack house tomorrow. Oh, praise Jesus. No. You stay away from the crack house. Amen. If you got a problem with pornography or the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, you don't watch Triple X. Do you? Praise the Lord. No, you stay away from that. And even, not even Triple X, sometimes PG-13. That PG-13. You know, they run around half naked with PG-13. Praise the Lord. They got stuff on TV now that is just ridiculous. Do y'all remember when they used to have I Love Lucy? And Andy Griffith? Do you know when they had the bedroom scene, they had two beds for the husband and the wife? Do you remember that? Not no longer. Not no longer. They got a bed and everybody's in the bed. Just crazy the way things are today. And they're promoting that craziness. You know, if you got a problem with that, turn the TV off. Praise the Lord. I just got a couple more scriptures here for you. Maybe. At that day, you should know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. This is John 14:20. At that day, what day? The day that God brings you out of darkness to your marvelous light. At that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. The Father's in Jesus, and Jesus is in us, and we are in both of them. How good is that? I love that. To know that Jesus is in the Father is in Jesus, Jesus is in me, and I'm in him. How good is that? Praise the Lord. That gives me joy, regardless of the circumstances. That's why Apostle Paul said, rejoice and again rejoice, because I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. Jesus is in the Father, and Jesus and the Father is in Jesus, and we're all together. We're all in this together. I love that. And then it says in John 17:23, I'm in them, and thou in me, and they may be made perfect in one, and the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them, and thou hast loved me. I in them. There you go again. He's in us. This is one of my favorites, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ liveth in me. There we go. That Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. You know, Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, he said, pick up your cross and follow me. Is that what he said? Pick up your cross, not his cross. Not my cross. Pick up your cross. Do you know what the cross is for? You know, you see a lot of people wearing crosses these days. You got rappers wearing crosses. You got dope dealers wearing crosses. You got all kind of people wearing the cross. Do you know what the cross was invented to do? Murder. To death. It's an instrument of death. Not only a death, but a cruel death. It's an instrument for cruel death. Jesus says, pick up your cross. What is your cross? Your cross is anything that causes sin in your life. You need to crucify it and kill it. You see what I'm saying? Everything in your life that is not of God, you need to crucify it and kill it. And let it die. A man crucified, he don't make plans for tomorrow. A man that's going to get crucified, you know, he don't look behind him and see what he's going to be doing. If a person is going to die, that's it. Not redirected, but die. When the enemy comes at me about all the things I used to do in my life, I say, I don't know, you talking to the wrong person. You know, go up that brookside, because that person is dead. But every now and then, that old nature tries to rise up out of the grave, don't he? He tries to rise up out of the grave. Can I get an amen? Everybody should be shouting on that. But the key to that is, we know now what's better. We know now that we need to do that. We know now we need to enter more and more and more into the things of God when we do that. When that old nature rises up, we need to seek God more each and every day. Now, this is the last one, maybe. Behold, Revelation 3:20. Where's Brother Priest? Brother Priest is, oh, he's Sunday school. All right. Brother Priest is teaching the whole book of Revelation in our adult Sunday school. He's doing the whole book of Revelation. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Who's the I? Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door. And if any man hear my voice, I'm knocking, but I'm speaking too. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. Here we go again. And will sup with him and he with me. You see, when Jesus, that's letting you know that you ain't that far gone. I don't care what you've done in your life. I don't care what you're doing now. When you hear and hear his voice, open the door. But so many times, what we'll do, we hear the knock and we go look in the peephole. Shh, shh. Be quiet. Maybe he'll go away. And you know why we say that? Because we want to continue to doing the things that we do behind the door. You hear what I'm saying? We enjoy doing the things that we do behind the door. Do you know when you was a little kid and you had your little hiding spot? You had your little space, you know, your place where your mom and your daddy, they didn't really know where you was. You know, and you can go do your little dirt at them little places that you would hide. And your mother or father would call you and you wouldn't answer because you didn't want them to know where you was, what you were doing. Yes, because you know that you were doing wrong. Some of us know that more than others, don't we? Amen. What you grinning about, Philip? He's just grinning back there. That's my brother right there, Philip. Yep. I can't wait to go home and tell Mom and Dad about you. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for my brother being here and my sister also. You know, my brother and my sister being here. That blesses me. You know, when you look out and you see family members, you know, blood, you know, that really blesses me. Amen. And we're going to pray for the rest of them to get here. Praise the Lord. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice, that we have ears to hear, and it says that I will come into him. I will come into him. We heard scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture that Christ has to be in us in order for us to live a life of righteousness and holiness, a life that will be acceptable unto him. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. Amen. But what happens, we'll put ourselves on the altar, but when that altar start getting hot, we'll crawl off of it. Oh, it's hot. It's uncomfortable. I don't like this. and we'll crawl off that altar. But I'm going to tell you, God is so good, He can keep on pursuing you. I'm so thankful that God didn't give up on me. I'm so thankful that He would open up the gates of heaven, and the hounds of heaven would chase me down. I would try to run and hide. But let me tell you something. You can't hide from God. You can't hide from God. I have a little demonstration here I want to show y'all. Y'all see what that is? Huh? That's money in here. Absolutely. Got some bills. Got all kind of bills in there. Got all kind of bills. Come in, young man. You didn't want to go to Sunday school. Come on up here. Come around over here to the piano. Now, you see that money in there? How much is in there? How much is that bill right there? What is that? What is that down there? What is that one over there? Is that 100? What is it? Fives? It might be $100 in there crumbled up. Let me tell you something. If you can open that jar and get that money out, it can be yours. What do you think about that? Huh? Do you want this? You don't know. Let me get your brother. Now, do you want him to have it? Or do you want it? You want it. All right, go sit down. See that? See how your brother is? All right. Now, in order for you to get that money out of there, you got to use these gloves to get them out. Okay? The only way that you can take that top off is use these gloves. That sounds pretty easy, don't it? Huh? Maybe. But in order to get that out of there, to use these gloves, I want you to put your hand up, touch this here. Take that and take this one. Now, the only way that you can get that jar open is use them gloves. Huh? Are you trying? Try harder. Why not? Why won't it work? You don't know? Let me tell you why it won't work. Put your hand. Put it in the right hand now. Put the glove on the right hand. Now put this on. Put this one on. Now, once again, you have to use the glove to open up the top. See if you can do it now. You see that? Did y'all understand the principle of this here? The money was there. The gloves was here. But the only way he can receive the blessing is that he feel those gloves. The only way that we can receive the blessings and walk in God is for God to be in us. As we talked about all the time, God has to be in us. I can do all things through Christ through me. I can do all things. I can open up that jar. I can walk in righteousness and holiness. But God has to be in you and me. That's the only way, church. You cannot do it yourself. How many of us have been trying to do it ourselves year after year after year after year? And been failing and failing and failing every time. Only when Christ is in us, we can do all things. You take that, open it up. Take it out. Here, give me my gloves back. Take it out. Take it all. Ooh, all you woo-wooing now. Look at the little brother. Y'all glad y'all didn't go to Sunday school this morning, didn't you? But y'all going next week. Anyway, that was just a little demonstration. You understand what I'm saying? We have to have Christ in us to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We have to have Christ in us to be have an acceptable life of Jesus Christ, of living a life for Jesus Christ. We have to do that, church. There's no other way around it. It's impossible for us to live our life, which is the righteousness of God, without Christ being in us. That Spirit being in us. I don't know who's here today. You might have been trying and trying and trying, and you continue to fail and fail, be discouraged, sick and tired of being sick and tired. I don't know who's here that might be in that position today, but if you are, you can come today and let Jesus fill you. You can come today and let the hands of God get inside of you so you can start living that life of righteousness and holiness. You're not going to be perfect. You won't be perfect. But what you will do is have Christ in you. I don't know about you. I've lived without Christ in me. And I'm living a life with Christ in me. Let me tell you something. It doesn't get no better with Christ in you. When you think about his goodness and what he's done for me. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, let me tell you something. There's nothing better than having Christ in you. Nothing better than having Christ in you. Once again, you're going to stumble. You know, you're going to go through some things. But the good thing is, though a righteous man falls seven times, he gets back up. Amen? He gets back up. And that's because Christ will raise you back up. Not only will he raise you back up, he'll forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You don't get no better than that. So if somebody's here today that you know, that you know, that you know, we're going to ask you to come. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody else that's sitting here that your seat is getting a little warm, your heart is beating a little fast? Hey, man. Some of y'all have no idea of some of the people standing up here today. How years of prayers have been prayed. Don't ever give up if you're praying for somebody. Don't ever give up. Nobody knows the day or the hour or the time come. Come here, Scotty. Come on over here, Scotty. Praise the Lord. Scotty, do you know Jesus loves you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Do you love Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mom and Dad.
I know. Mom and Dad, they're in heaven.
Yeah.
And one day we'll be there with them, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody else? So what everybody's saying is, y'all full of Jesus. Amen. If you are, praise the Lord. Amen. But if you're not, you know, if you're not, you can come today. Once again, I stand at the door and knock. And if any person hears my voice, and you open the door, praise the Lord. Come here, Kathy. Come here, girl.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. I ain't seen her in years. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord for that one.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? You know, I think it is somebody else here. And for whatever reason why you can't get up and come, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me because God will meet you in your seat. Amen. God will meet you where you are. But just be honest and serious about it. and faithful. So I'm going to ask everybody, let's touch and agree. Come on around here. Come on around, Russell. Amen. I'm going to ask everybody to pray this prayer with me. And if you're sitting out there and you know that you know that you know, pray this prayer with me and come up afterwards and let me know that you prayed this prayer. Heavenly Father, I come before you today. I confess that I need more of you. I need all of you from this day forward. Lord, you know my life have not been the way that it should be. But this day, I'm asking you to forgive me of all my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, shed his blood for my sins. He rose again on that third day, that he's seated in heaven next to our Heavenly Father. From this day, I open my life up to you, that you will fill me, every part of me, and I will walk in righteousness, holiness, obedience, and faithfulness. From this day forward, I accept this free gift of faith, of salvation. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy and so thankful, you know, that each and every one of y'all have come. Now, once again, we're doing baptisms here in about an hour. If you prayed that prayer and you have not been baptized, please meet us at the river. We'll be there at 1 o'clock. We got an hour, you know, or maybe 45 minutes, you know, so we'll be at the river. There's a big sign down there on Route 3 and it says baptizing the day. Just pull right in there and you'll be baptized. All right. God bless you. That's your dad? Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, back there. All right, God bless you. Just, no, you keep that. Pay your tithes next week, too. If anybody needs prayer, you know we're going to ask you. If anybody needs prayer, the altar is open for you for prayer. Father, I ask you to touch my sister from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. I ask that you'll bless her in every area of her life. Lord, I thank you for this day that she has decided to come do the sacraments of baptism. I ask, oh Father God, that she will be cleansed and delivered from the appetite, oh Father God, of the things that she has been abstaining from in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you, sister.
Blessed.
Huh?
Blessed.
Okay. God bless you.
You paid for a room, boss. You said you expected.
Ah, yes, yes. And this is you. Okay, praise the Lord.
My name's Adam.
Huh?
My name's Adam.
Adam.
Adam
and what's?
And Dawn.
And Dawn, yes, yes, yes. Well, praise the Lord. So y'all got things taken care of now.
Well, it's...
Okay.
But, for the night,
okay. You said you're...